It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
It's time for the 41st episode of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week I have an interview with Arvid Nelson, who's back to talk about Warlord of Mars, as well as Lord of the Jungle from Dynamite Entertainment. I think you'll enjoy what he has to say about both franchises. Be sure to pick up Lord of the Jungle number 1 when it shows up in comic shops around the world this week. Then I review this week's comics, and I talk with Dave Romeo from Comics on the Green in Scranton, Pennsylvania, about comics and what's going on in the comics industry. Then we wrap things up as usual with news and previews with Gianluca Glazer and Ian Cullen. Since we have a lot on our plate, let's get to it. Okay, talking today with Arvid Nelson, whose Lord of the Jungle is coming out very shortly. And, of course, we've talked with you in the past, Arvid, with all the good stuff that you're involved with, including Warlord of Mars, which, by the way, is still going great guns, I think. So I still think your Warlord of the Mars is much better than Marvel's, but, you know, I'm sort of biased, I suppose.
Oh, shucks. Thank you very much.
Anything that you want to tell the fans about the book, something that you'd like for them to know about it?
You mean Gods of Mars, the new arc?
The new arc. What about Gods of Mars would you like people to know about?
Great. Well, I think it's sort of like the Empire Strikes Back of the Mars books. It's my personal favorite. There's so many cool twists and turns. Burroughs sets up a lot of interesting mysteries in the first novel, and they all get explained in the second novel, Gods of Mars, the one that we're writing right now. So it's my absolute favorite. And it's funny because it's not something that Burroughs does very often in his writing. Usually his novels, they're very self-contained. Mm-hmm. So it's one of my favorite things about Princess of Mars and Gods of Mars is that there's a real synergy between the two books.
Very cool. Now, can you give us a little bit of what the basic storyline is?
John Carter, he finds himself in a part of Mars where people are not allowed to go. All Martians, whether they're the red Martians who look like human beings or the green Martians who are sort of huge and monstrous and green, all of them believe in this god called Isis. Mm-hmm. And the south pole of Mars is the holy land of Isis. And no one is allowed to go there until they're ready to end their lives. Basically, people on Mars don't die. They're immortal. But after 1,000 years, generally, people go on this pilgrimage to the south pole. And no one ever returns. So John Carter wakes up in the middle of the south pole. And the things that he sees there are very shocking and surprising. So the story goes from there.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Who's providing the art?
It is Edgar Salazar, and he's doing a great job. Man, he's great. Oh, mm-hmm. So cool to see what he's doing.
Now, this is a miniseries?
Yeah, that's right. It'll be 6 issues when it's all told. Mm-hmm. I believe the first one came out. So yeah, I guess it came out on December 14th. Fresh, hot off the stand.
Very cool. And the thing I'm interested about these Warlord of Mars books and stuff like that, have you guys ever considered like putting them together in some sort of a trade or into some sort of a series of books that people could buy if they wanted to catch up on what's happened in the past?
Yeah, I believe the first story arc, The Princess of Mars, which is our adaptation of the first novel, is out in trade paperback right now. So it's thick, too. There's 9 issues in it. So it's a good long read.
Cool. See, I like thicker trade paperbacks.
Yeah.
I love to pour myself into a story and be gone for a while.
Yeah.
So that's really cool. So that's available. Are other ones going to be coming out in trade as well?
Yeah, you know, that's the idea. We'll serialize them in single issues and then collect them all into trade paperbacks. And each trade paperback will also include the original material that we came up with, the kind of bridges and the segues. So cool. Just kind of fleshes out the stories a little bit more.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
That'd be good. I'll have to buy those too because I've got the issues. I'll have to get the trades just so I can read the in-between. And I'd love to be able to sit down and read the whole thing as one nice story, nice long story like that.
Yeah.
So that'll be cool. Okay. Any other things on the Mars books that you want to talk about before we get to Lord of the Jungle?
Well, you know, Dynamo is doing a lot of great stuff. Robert Napton Smith, he wrote Fall of Barsoom. He's doing Warriors of Mars right now. Mm-hmm. Man, he's doing a great job. I think he's awesome. Mm-hmm. So I've been enjoying those just as much as I'm enjoying writing Mars myself. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, unfortunately, I'm doing the Deja Thoris series. Mm-hmm. For Dynamite, which was the sort of the first spinoff from the Warlord books. And unfortunately, issue 10 of Deja Thoris, that'll be my last. But then Robert's taking it up, so it's in very good hands.
Great.
Yeah.
Are you guys going to work together as like moving forward to making sure everything's coordinated with the books and with each other?
Yeah, definitely. You know, that's where our editor, Joe Rybrandt, comes in. He makes sure we're not, you know, contradicting each other. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great. Well, yeah. That's good. You know, there's a John Carter movie coming out, and I think this is why Marvel and Disney are – that's why they're coming out with books as well.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to be fascinated to see. This is turned to being a John Carter type of couple of years here. So I still think they wouldn't have done it if you guys hadn't proved that it could be done in your comics. So
yeah. I think that's cool.
So anyway, let's move on to Lord of the Jungle and talk about that book. You and I have talked a little bit about this. This is, of course, the Tarzan name is something you can't quite use on a cover for legal reasons, but it's clearly the Lord of the Jungle is about that character and his work. Now, you talked with me before is that you're actually changing the book somewhat because there were sort of racial overtones that probably wouldn't work in today's market.
Yeah, I mean, even if it would work in today's market, I still wouldn't want to do it because it's just, I mean, it's like parts of the novel are just like blatantly and inexcusably racist. Obviously, Edgar Rice Burroughs is the product of his time, and who are we to judge him? But that stuff rubs me very much the wrong way. Mm-hmm. So no interest in that whatsoever. So yeah, that did necessitate making some changes.
Mm-hmm. So is this going to follow the novels?
Yes. That said, we are definitely making changes, but my goal when I do an adaptation is always to change it as little as humanly possible. So I very much believe we are staying true to the spirit of the original novels. The first series we're doing is an adaptation of the first novel, Tarzan of the Apes. Mm-hmm. So it's very much that story and that character. I mean, I believe the adaptation that we're going to be doing is going to be a lot more faithful to the original Tarzan as Burroughs conceived of him than any of the other adaptations that I've seen anyways. Mm-hmm. So
very cool. And you know, the Tarzan character has been so popular over the decades.
Yeah.
Movies and books and comics and all kinds of things. Did you feel the need to refer to any of that stuff when you were starting on your comic, or did you just refer to the books?
Yeah, you know, it was strange. I was actually surprised at how little all of the adaptations follow the original. I mean, the basic idea is the same, but then they just go off wildly on their own directions. So to me, the original novel is much more interesting and it's better. So, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think hopefully our adaptation will stand out because we're trying to evoke the spirit of the original.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the first storyline, you guys are dealing with his origin, basically. Is that what the first several issues are going to be about?
Yes. One of the interesting challenges with the novel is that a lot of Tarzan's origin story, there's no dialogue in it. So that's very difficult for comics. I mean, it's okay in a movie, but there's just something about panels without dialogue in comics. You just kind of skip over them. So we had to think of some creative ways of getting his origin story across without doing 20 pages of silent panels. I mean, you would read that issue, quote unquote, read it in about 30 seconds and then feel totally ripped off. Mm. So yeah, Tarzan of the Apes is definitely Tarzan's origin story. Mm-hmm.
So this is going to last the first storyline for about how many issues?
Six issues,
of course. Hopefully this will get collected into a nice little trade.
Yeah.
Those people who don't happen to get the first couple of issues can keep going with it.
Yeah.
But you said to me, and I was kind of interested, and I want to follow up a little bit on this, was that you were asked by Dynamite to create this based on the success of the Warlord of Mars series.
Yeah.
I'm just fascinated by that. Did they like the story of Lord of the Jungle and want you to handle it? Or I don't like this to think that it's purely a mercenary thing that say, hey, make more money for us. But
they
actually like the story. I mean, did they approach you with the idea about doing this? Did you talk to them about doing this? How did that work?
they approached me. Ultimately, the people who run Dynamite, Nick Barucci and Joe Ryder and my editor, no one's in comics just for the money. I mean, if we were interested in the money, we'd all be stockbrokers or something like that. So I know Nick Barucci, Joe, me, we all have a passion for making great comics, and that's what we want to do. Something like Lord of the Jungle, it was definitely their idea, and it's a great idea. I mean, the Deja Thoris spinoff of Warlord of Mars was also their idea. I was thrilled to do it. And I'm just happy for the opportunity, and I want to do as good a job as possible for them. And I feel like I am.
What intrigues me is that comics and the media in general is looking for new and interesting stories to tell. And yet there's all these resources and great stories sitting around that they haven't touched. And I think that Lord of the Jungle, just like Warlord of Mars, is telling the generation that may not have read those novels these great stories. It really makes me happy that people are going to get a chance to read these wonderful things. I mean, yeah, you're translating into a comic and you're making some changes that need to be made. But it's interesting to me that you're telling these stories when most people probably have overlooked them.
Yeah, you know, but in a weird way, in some small way, it's part of our culture now. I mean, Tarzan is over 100 years old. So, it's an important part of American pop culture. And I think the stories are timeless and there's something really, really resonant about them. So, yeah, I totally agree. It's wonderful to be able to, in some small way, contributing to keeping it going and keeping the flame burning.
Very cool. Now, the first six issues will be the origin story. So what's the next story? You're going to go into the second Tarzan novel?
That's right. Yeah. And we'll do that for some time. We may go into some diversions, some original stories. But yeah, that's the plan for now.
Mm-hmm. I'm enjoying it. And you said about Warlord of Mars, and I hope the same thing is true of Lord of the Jungle, is that you're telling the story and taking however long that takes to tell it right, as opposed to saying, I got six issues, I got to squeeze everything into there for the trade. Comics have what I call trade paperbackitis. Everybody's geared toward making trades now instead of individual issues. And I think you bucked that trend with your comics, because every issue has significant things to say and significant things happen in them. And I like that about your writing so much. And I think, you know, that's one thing I like about Warlord of Mars, and why I recommend the books as much as I do. And I think with Lord of the Jungle, I'm looking forward to that same kind of thing happening in there.
Thank you. Yeah, I try to do about 40 or so pages. I don't know if that comes out to in words, but I definitely try to be as efficient as possible when I'm doing the adaptation. Just no wasted panels, no wasted words. And I want people to feel like the issue ends up in a very different place from where it begins.
Yeah, but one thing I always hate about comics is when the last panel of the comic is on the cover.
Right, yeah.
It drives me to distraction. I've never seen you do that. And I'm always, you and your artists, and when you tell the stories, it's always an interesting cover, and it doesn't give away too much about what's happening in the book. So I think that's a great thing. I wish more people did that, to be honest.
Yeah, thanks. Well, you know, if you're going to pay $3-$4 for 22 pages of comics, you know, you deserve your money's worth.
Yeah, that's true.
That's right.
And that's another thing that's too great, too, is your books come out on time, which there's nothing that destroys the fun of reading a book is when you have to go back and say, now, the last time this came out was several months ago. What was going on in that book?
So painful. And I have so much more sympathy now for publishers. Rex Mundy, which is a comic that I produced and published myself with the help of Image Comics, and they were hugely helpful to me. But I've been on the other end of the gun, and oh my, there's so many problems that can crop up. I mean, there was a 6-month delay in Rex Mundi at one point, and it killed me. But boy, there was a 2-year delay in between issues of Zero Killer, another comic that I wrote and self-produced with or helped produce with Dark Horse. And boy, but believe me, as agonizing as it is for a reader, it's much worse for the publisher, I promise.
You mentioned Zero Killer, which I love. We talked about that in the past. I still want to recommend people, if you haven't read Zero Killer, go out and buy it. It's very different. It's very unique. And I like that story quite a lot. I still hope we'll see more of that sometime.
Me too.
But as you know, you talk about delays, and of course, I remember between Dark Knight number 3 and Dark Knight number 4, there was like a year back in that. So unfortunately, comics readers were used to sort of waiting for the good stuff. And that's the thing I like about your books. It's their quality. I always enjoy the stories being told, and I like that the characters breathe as well as the action goes on. One of the things about comics is that they need that balance, and I think you have that balance really well. One of the writers I think out today that does that the best.
Thank you very much.
Looking forward to Lord of the Jungle and Warlord of Mars. Now, how are your other projects coming? Well, you were writing a novel last time you and I talked.
That's right. And it's finished. Yay.
Oh, it's done. All right. So it's called what?
It's called The Band of the Crow.
You want to give a short summary of what it's about?
It's a young adult fantasy novel. It's sort of the opposite of most fantasy. In most fantasy stories, it's human beings have spread themselves all over. The elves are off in the forests, and the dwarves are down in the mines, but their numbers are kind of dwindling. So this is the opposite. Human beings have been pushed to the edge of extinction. There are elves and trolls and giants and also dragons. But I was going back to the original source material, the Celtic stories and myths, the Norse myths, and really looking at what is an elf? What is an elf and how do they appear in the original stories? What is a troll? How do they appear in the original stories? And it's interesting. There's a lot there. It's very, very different from the sort of genre stereotypes that have grown up around them over the years. So hopefully it's a question of looking at things with a fresh eye and a fresh point of view and coming up with something that's new and different.
Now, this is a novel. This is not a comic.
That's right. Straight prose.
Now, do you have any ideas when this is going to be released?
No, I mean, you know, I don't have an agent. I don't have a publisher.
Oh, okay. So
I'm thinking about seriously considering even self-publishing, but first I have to get all my humiliating rejection letters from agents and publishers. So, you know, first things first.
Everybody who's a writer says that, you know, you've got to get your pink slips.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
The old story about J.K. Rowling was that she wrote Harry Potter, the very first book, and was rejected so many times. She was so dirt poor by the time Scholastic expressed interest in the book that she had to go back and manually retype the first book over. She couldn't afford to get it copied.
Wow.
So those kinds of things. And hear the stories and what you're doing with it. And as long as there's some interest in it, and it sounds like it's a really good story, honestly.
Yeah.
So it'd be fun to get a chance to read that. Somewhere down the pike, would you ever consider about getting that story translated into a comic?
Absolutely, absolutely. But boy, that's really putting the cart before the horse.
Yeah.
I've got to make sure if I can make it successful as a novel, then man, sky is the limit. But that's definitely focus. Like that's priorities 1 through 99 right now.
Okay. Well, of course, I'm always thinking about comics and movies. So this sounds like it would make an excellent, especially now with technology being what it is. This sounds like it would make a great movie.
Yeah, I like to think so. Don't be afraid to dream big. But boy, like I said, I just want to make sure the novel's the best it can be. And then I think I'll be content no matter what happens with it.
Okay. Any other projects you're working on as if this wasn't enough?
That's about it.
Okay. That'll keep you busy for a while, I would imagine. Yeah. So, well, that's good. Good talking with you, Arvid, as always. Keep up the wonderful stuff. It's great reading it. So, and look forward to Lord of the Jungle when it comes out.
Great.
Thanks for talking with me, as always.
Oh, thank you, Wayne.
Together from the cosmic reaches of the universe, here in this great hall of justice, are the most powerful forces of good ever assembled.
It's Wayne's Comic Review,
dedicated to truth, justice, and peace for all mankind.
Let's talk about this week's comics. The book that disappointed me the most, and this is tough coming from a big Batman fan like me, was Batman Through the Looking Glass. It's an expensive hardcover done by Bruce Jones and Sam Keith. It's an interesting story. Of course, Batman ends up in a world with Alice in Wonderland, but I just didn't seem to get into it as much as others might. I would say that your money is probably better spent on the Dark Crystal hardcover that came out as well. It's called The Dark Crystal Creation Myths, and I think it's a really good book comparatively. It may be that Mr. Keith's art doesn't quite send me, or something about the story didn't get to me. It was a weird mix of sort of childish stories as well as adult drawings and stuff, so it didn't quite grab me. But other books that came out that I enjoyed, and let's go through the New 52 first, is that Green Lantern number 5 was one of my favorites. It had a lot to do with Sinestro and Hal Jordan. It ends up really interestingly by putting Hal Jordan back on Earth without a power ring. I thought that was a big surprise. After 5 issues, I figured he'd have the ring back. Batgirl fights a new villain called Gretel and no sight of Hansel. She ends up trying to take on Bruce Wayne at the end, which I liked. Batman and Robin makes it look like Damian Wayne has abandoned his father, so that's kind of interesting to me. Batwoman is the last issue being drawn by J.H. Williams for a while, but it's got an interesting storyline going on. Justin Gray and Jimmy Palmiotti brought us The Ray number 2, which I still like. I think that's a good book. Demon Knights number 5 by Paul Cornell was great again. Unfortunately, I don't think Mr. Cornell will be around for many more issues, if any. Frankenstein Agent of Shade continues to be one of the weirdest and most offbeat books in the New 52, and I like that, with Omak guest starring. Legion Lost gets better every month, and I liked it. Mr. Terrific concludes its first storyline in issue number 5. Also, Superboy number 5 continues on its collision course with Teen Titans. Deathstroke looks at the New 52 universe from the villainous perspective, so I like that. Grifter has some action-packed sequences I enjoyed. Resurrection Man also continues to get better, which I like. The Shade has art by Darwin Cook, and that's never a bad thing, so that was really good. Suicide Squad ends up with the team going after Harley Quinn, who's on her way back to Gotham. Can trouble be far behind? I also liked My Greatest Adventure number 4, which was pretty good. The 3 stories were actually not too bad. Other books that came out that I think are worth talking about are Formic Wars, Silent Strike number 2 of 5, Moriarty number 8, and Severed number 6 of 7, Invincible number 87, and my favorite book of the week, which is Dark Matter number 1. It's written by 2 of the people from the Stargate franchise, Joseph Malozzi and Paul Mulley. It's an interesting story about what happens when a crew on a spaceship wakes up and they don't remember who they are or what they're supposed to be doing. They find another person on the ship, and he's apparently got more information than they do, but he's not giving up any of it. The book ends up with the ship being attacked by an alien vessel, and they're not quite sure how to respond, so I like that book a lot. And those are the books that came out this week.
Simon, you might be able to answer this. Who the f*** is Greg Capullo, and where has he been all my life?
God, it's you, the Black Canary, wanted for murdering a man with one punch.
I can only assume that when Quillen March begins a sketch, he draws 2 huge orbs in the centre of the page and goes from there.
J.T. Krull will apparently be no longer writing Green Arrow.
Yeah!
And Superman says the line, teeth! Filthy flying teeth.
Whipping Boys.
Whipping Boys comics and entertainment podcast available from whippingboys.com and iTunes.
Okay, I'm talking today with Dave Romeo, who runs Comics on the Green in Scranton, Pennsylvania. How are you doing today, Dave?
Doing well. Freezing up here in the Northeast, but other than that, everything's good, thanks.
Well, it's freezing here in the Mid-Atlantic area, too, so believe me, it's cold.
15 degrees here, it is bitter cold. Inside, to sit inside and talk about.
That's right. So I was just curious to get your input as to what's recently happened with DC. Now, the New 52 has been out. We finally have seen the first wave of cancellation and then the second wave of new books. And I was just curious, what was your reaction to all that?
The cancellations aren't a surprise, unfortunately. Some of these books really underperformed right from the beginning, and they never seemed to really pick up an audience as the months were going on. Like, some books were catching on through word of mouth and were increasing. Others were settling and the numbers were dropping, but some of them just weren't doing well from the start. And unfortunately, our sales were very, very reflective of the books that were getting canceled. So I'm not too surprised. I know DC said that they committed to a certain amount of time, but at the end, if something's not making money and numbers keep dropping, they can't carry a book like that. So I'm not too surprised with that. I do like kind of what I've heard about the next wave, the next couple of books that they've announced. And you know, some friends and I were talking about how we think that, you know, DC, everybody expects this new universe and everything that DC's created to come fully established and have everything, you know, etched in stone. When I think they have certain things, certain maybe high points they want to hit and certain ideas for certain characters, but in the end, I still think it's a little bit of a growing process like any entertainment field where they kind of see what works and see what doesn't, see maybe sometimes the stories kind of take over for themselves and you see characters going in different directions, and maybe the next wave and even anything that comes after that, yeah, you'll see it maybe be a little bit more stronger in content, maybe seem a little more coherent as they're building this new 52 world. I agree with the decision so far. I'm excited about some of the new titles coming up, too.
Well, you and I talked about the fact that Men of War was very likely heading out the door. We weren't sure when or how it was going to happen, but it didn't take long after you and I talked that they decided to cancel it. One of the things I was curious about to get your reaction to is they replaced Men of War with another war book, a GI Combat, which is one part of it's been written by J.T. Krall, another part by Grand Palmiotti. Mm-hmm. What's your reaction to that? Do you think that there's a market currently out there for army books or war-type stories?
I think in short supply, to be honest, I mean, war books haven't really sold over the past 20-some years. There's a reason that even Sergeant Rock got canceled in the early 1980s there. They're trying new things. A part of this makes me feel like DC is just doing things to kind of keep the copyrights going, too. You know, they really haven't used the logos and everything for GI Combat recently or the War That Time Forgot, although they did that miniseries a couple of years ago. They are trying to experiment, though. They are still shooting for diversity, and they're trying to use some of this top talent and mid-tier talent to try to maybe breathe some life into that. So I like the idea. It's an uphill battle. But then again, if you would have told me that Animal Man and Swamp Thing would be big sellers, or that All-Star Western, for instance, is doing very well right now, I probably would have said those are uphill battles, too. So we'll have to wait and see. Maybe they learn their lessons from Men of War, and maybe they're going to try to bring a little bit more diversity to the stories and not just go with one long storyline with these titles. So it's definitely an uphill battle. But we'll have to see. They could surprise us. I hope they do.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's your feeling about bringing Earth 2 back? This is a return to the original way that DC did things with Justice Society. They don't mention Justice Society, interestingly enough. They just call it Earth 2. So
I noticed that, too. Mm-hmm.
What did you think of that?
As an old fan, I have to say, I am happy to see an Earth 2. I always liked the idea. I thought the whole Crisis on Infinite Earths from the 80s, merging everything into one and making a big mix-mash of everything. It worked, of course, for a long time, but I missed the old Earth 1, Earth 2 stuff. I thought things were explained more cleanly with that, and it made crossovers much more fun. And it'd be interesting to see where they go with that. That's a pretty bold move to make, but they could probably get a whole line of books out of having Earth 2, not just JSA or not just the New World's Finest book with Huntress and Power Girl. They might be able to spin off a lot of things from that. So I like the idea. We'll see how it's executed, but I'm a fan of that.
It's interesting because Mr. Terrific is being canceled, and he's one of the ones that was originally a member of the Justice Society, and of course the new updated one was black. We've also seen Static Shock get canceled, so that's two of their black characters. Mm-hmm. And I don't see that there, unless Dial H or GI Combat or Ravagers has a black character in it, DC has canceled the ones that had the most diversity in it.
Right. You know what, Wayne, in the end, and we have multi-ethnic customers in our store, and some of them are just very straightforward. I'll ask them straight up questions about how they feel about black characters and how they're portrayed. And I just had a nice conversation just last week. And you know what, in the end, I don't care whether you're white, black, Asian, Hispanic, the fans just want good stories with the characters they like. Mm-hmm. And I find that even our minority customers, I mean, they don't necessarily pick up Black Panther and Mr. Terrific and Static Shock. If they don't like the characters or they don't like the creative themes, they don't buy it just because they're black characters or just for the sake of diversity. You know, they're reading Thor and they're reading Spider-Man and they're reading Batman just like everybody else. Whether they're minorities or not, people just want a good product. And I think that's the bottom line is, you know, DC tried, and I applaud them for trying, and maybe trying to put even, like, good role models out there for the sake of diversity. But in the end, the fans, they want what they want, and it doesn't matter what color or race they are. And then that's the bottom line.
Well, Blue Beetle's still going on. He's Hispanic, so I guess there's still some of that in there.
Right.
But I do have a friend of mine who's black, and he likes to collect black characters. And I was in a local store a couple of weeks back, and there was a woman who was there trying to find specifically black female heroes. And we had to sit and we had to,
Storm.
You know, Storm was there. And of course, we had to think about who else is there, you know. So we went through, and it took us a while, but we came up with a couple of them. You know, Captain Marvel, who's now the old, I can't remember what her current
right,
name
Monica
is.
Monica Rambeau. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Knight, you say in there. I mean, traditionally comics have appealed to a certain crowd. You know, you walk into any comic convention and there's tens of thousands of people of all races and colors, so they're obviously reading something. And I think it goes back to they just like their certain characters too. They might, you know, maybe deep down they hope for some, you know, more diverse characters. But in the end, it's the product. I mean, the comic industry is selling a product to them, and you know, some characters just don't work on their own. Hey. You know, there's plenty of white characters that don't make it too. Namor mm-hmm. never seems to make it for too long in his own book, and the Eternals and the New Gods and everything else. There's just some concepts and characters that work best in a team situation. Mm-hmm. Mr. Terrific is a great character within the JSA, and people like him there. On his own, not so much. The Black Panther is a great character. They keep trying him over and over and over again in his own book, and they keep canceling it. Luke Cage is achieving more fame being part of the Avengers than he ever did in his own title. It's just, It just happens. And you could say the same thing about all those other characters I mentioned, too. You know, some characters just don't resonate with people.
Well, we have to talk about, if we're going to talk about diversity, the new Spider-Man from Ultimate Spider-Man. How is that doing? That's selling pretty well,
I understand. That's actually doing very well, and many customers do comment on how they were just going to give it a chance because, you know, they figured they were going to miss Peter Parker and thought it was just a ploy, you know, like maybe a little bit of shock value. But in the end now, we're a few months into the title, and sales are still very strong. People are telling me how good the book is, and they said, you know, it's fun seeing this new character learn his spider power just like Peter did years ago. Mm-hmm. And they said kind of Bendis is almost using the same kind of formula with a different character, but yeah, people seem to like it. Part of it maybe is because it's the Ultimate Universe, and they could take more chances and get away with that. But yeah, I mean, so far so good on that one.
Okay, so that one is a success then. One of the things that people were really in a big snit about was the fact that they had to kill a white character in order to give a black character that identity instead of developing his own. And yet that doesn't seem to be a big problem. It seems like the character's taken hold.
I think you have to give a lot or maybe all the credit to Brian Bendis on that one and the editorial for taking a chance and letting him develop that. But they're enjoying it.
Mm-hmm. So as far as the New 52 goes this far into it, I guess it's considered a big success. And, of course, there's every major thing like this is going to have its ups and its downs. Going forward, do you have any suggestions for them? Should they raise the price on some of the books? Because Marvel sells most of their books at $3.99 and DC is holding the line at $2.99. Do you think they should up the price in order to make more money? Or do you think that it's wise for them to stay at $2.99?
Well, what I see them doing is their top selling books are going to be $3.99, just like Justice League is, and just like Action Comics is. I guess, is it Batman and Detective now they said are going to be $3.99, but they're going to have extra pages in them as well.
Yeah.
I'm not like one of the bean counters. I'm not one of the accountants that totally understand how they do things. But you know what? Those are the books that are selling very well, and people are going to continue to pick those up, and they don't care if they're $3.99. I think those added, even though they'll have a little bit of extra cost in them because they'll have the extra pages, I think that will be able to keep the rest of the line down at $2.99. You start pumping up those middle-tier books like your Demon Knights and Deathstroke and Firestorm. You start making those $3.99, and I think they'll be done. Mm. But if you can bump the top-tier book that people are going to buy no matter what, that should help carry the rest of the line and keep the cost down, I would think. I'm not a big corporation or big company like there, but that's my guess, is that helps the smaller books.
Has the New 52 influenced people to try other books besides the DC and the Marvel books, do you think?
You know, in a way, what it does is it brought people into the comic shops again. It got people who were buying comics and dropped off for whatever reason back in the stores. So, yeah, I mean, they come in and they are maybe more 52 heavy. They'll pick up more of the new DC stuff, but they'll also say, hey, I hear Walking Dead is very good. Hey, what's going on in Spider-Man? Oh, there's this big X-Men Avengers thing. They're comic book fans. And for the most part, they love comics and are willing to try new things. So it brought people back into the shops. And, yeah, they are picking up other things.
Mm-hmm. Do you think Avengers versus X-Men is going to be big this year? Do you think that would be the big event of the year?
You know what? At first when I heard it announced, I thought, okay, this will do well because it is Marvel's event. And you know what? I think it is going to do very well because I'm in the store a lot and I talk to customers and I try to get their feedback on things. And a lot of them are pretty pumped about it. Not too many people are poo-pooing it and saying, oh, God, it's just a ploy. Oh, it's another event. There's people like asking, like, hey, Dave, are you more of an Avengers store? And I'm more of an X-Men guy. And there's some fun aspect to this. And I think people are kind of excited about it more than I thought they would be. I think it's going to be big. I really do.
Okay, so you have to ask the question, are you going to, because as a store, you have to pick which side you're going to be on. Are you guys going to be an Avengers store or an X-Men store?
Right. There's a whole bunch of reasons why I made my pick here. We're definitely an Avengers store.
Okay.
The Avengers have been our top-selling book for years and years now. I grew up in the 70s when before the X-Men really caught on. The Avengers were like the big book that you bought where all the big events were going on. Mm-hmm. And so, and personally, like in my heart, the Avengers are always near and dear to my heart. And sales reflect that, too, because in our store, they've been outselling the X-Men for a while now. Yeah, we definitely are going to be split as far as our customers. But I'm going to say go on record and say we're an Avengers store.
It's going to be interesting to me because they had an X-Men versus Avengers crossover back in the 80s. And
mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of interested that we're going to go this way again. And it's going to be interesting. What do you think of the idea of having like individual issues, having individual characters face off against each other?
See, I like that a lot because you know what? I think that's what's going to make this a little bit more fun. whether it was Civil War or Marvel versus DC or the old miniseries that we're talking about where they had the X-Men and the Avengers, I think they had the FF and the X-Men or the X-Men and some other people, they were these little miniseries where you maybe got a page and a half of somebody actually fighting each other. Mm-hmm. And although they Marvel versus DC, those battles went on a little bit longer. We never really get those big battles. Civil War, if there's one thing I didn't like about Civil War, is we never got the big battles with the big characters because Thor wasn't around, the Hulk was off planet, and this and that. And I really think we're going to get the big throwdown fights that people have been asking for a long time. That's one thing I really think is going to be the big fun aspect that's been kind of missing from comics. Everybody's standing around talking about their feelings and what they're going to do. You know, just go out and punch everybody for 16 pages and let me see how this works out, you know? And I think that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm actually looking forward to that. And fans seem to be, too. They're already talking about stuff like that.
Well, the ultimate crossover, I thought, was when Kurt Busiek did the same business where they had JLA versus Avengers. The other, we had Captain America versus Batman. We got to see similarities and contrasts between the characters. And I have a feeling that's what they're going with this.
Yeah, he did a terrific job, and he did it like, I mean, he had a big story, but he was only able to tell those battles in a couple of pages. If you get a whole issue of two characters fighting each other, I think that's almost never really been done. Rarely, even in the history of Marvel and DC, would you get a whole issue where, for the most part, the characters were fighting the entire thing, and you got to see those contrasts and the way they thought about things. And it's going to be a lot of fun, I think. I really do.
So it sounds like your store's doing pretty well up in Scranton. Sounds like business is going pretty well.
Yeah, we are. I mean, you know, we've had our ups and downs, especially when the economy took a weird turn there. And I have to say, even like last year, at the beginning of the year, really before the new 52, we were starting to see sales slip on a lot of books. People were they were dropping Justice League. They were dropping the Superman title. They were only picking up one. I mean, DC did need to do something. I'm not saying they had to do something this drastic, but obviously it worked out. But really, since September on, we've had the final quarter of the year, and even now the first month of the year in January, we're having a terrific, business is up. The plain out business is up over what it was last year, and 52 is a part of that. But there are other things, too. I mean, Marvel continuing to do what they do. I mean, the sales on those books are very, very strong, too. Things like The Walking Dead have really brought people into the stores. I mean, some of those people are only reading Walking Dead, but sometimes they'll come in and we'll try to point them in the direction of other sure readers or kind of get what their likes are. But definitely DC New 52 combined with things like The Walking Dead and the excitement over even the Captain America and Thor movie and X-Men like that brought some more excitement in this year, too. Mm-hmm. And people definitely getting pumped up for the Avengers. And yeah, I think we're looking at a really good 2012, and we finished very strong in 2011.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, because the Dark Knight Rises is also coming out this year, so
there'll
be a lot of stuff, of interesting things. Do you think we'll see more of these comics into television or movies as we go forward? Because it seems to me you've already got a basis from which, and a fan base to draw. So it seems to me that the easy thing to do to take these heroes, especially now with special effects and stuff being where they are, to turn them into films and into television shows.
I think so. I mean, Hollywood likes a sure thing, and when they see the numbers on, you know, the Iron Man movies and then the Avengers and Batman and things like that, as long as they continue to do well, Hollywood will continue to go that route, and even TV and some of the networks might take some chances. They don't quite have the budgets to do those things, but I think you'll see it continue, especially like if this year, if Batman and Avengers and Spider-Man, now even Ghost Rider comes out next month, which is a strange time of the year to come out, but obviously they're making money. And they'll continue to do things as long as they keep making money. I would like to see more things on television, too, but I realize that the budgets aren't really there to do things like that. They have to get around things like superpowers and costumes and things.
Okay. Well, do you want to give the information for your store so if people want to contact you and maybe buy some stuff from you, your address and your phone number?
Oh, sure. Yeah,
and your website.
Comics on the Green. Mm-hmm. It's 307 North Washington Avenue. We're in Scranton, Pennsylvania, in the heart of the Northeast. Mm-hmm. And we also have our website, which is very easy, www.comicsonthegreen.com. We're on Facebook as Comics on the Green. You can like us there. I'm always posting things a couple times a day. Sometimes it's things like sales and things going on at the store, but I also like to keep it fun, too, ask customers questions and put up some little funny stories about things that happen in the store. So, you know, I try to keep it light. I'm not trying to force a product on you on Facebook all the time. We're also on Twitter at Cot Green. You could follow us there, and we post once in a while on Twitter as we find some important information. So we're all over the web, and we'd love to hear from people.
Okay, what's the phone number for the store?
Phone number is 570-342-5960. You could also reach us via email, of course. It's Cot Green, C-O-T, Green, at AOL.com. And we have links all over our website and everything, too, if you ever want to email us. We're also on eBay as Comics on the Green 1 with the number 1 after it. Mm-hmm. And we're a power seller on there with thousands and thousands of items up there. We're everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to say that you often recommend good stuff. You're the one that got me into Walking Dead long before the show ever aired. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while, I would come by the store and I would say, what is a good a book that I'm not reading? And you would recommend, you still have recommended some other ones too that I still read, but Walking Dead was the big one. That was at the time when, you know, it was a black and white book and about zombies. Who wants to read that?
Yeah.
But you got me started reading it, and it's turned out really well, so I appreciate that. And so if somebody's looking for good information, you know, give you a call and ask.
Sure. We always have some recommendations for people. What's nice is me and all my guys there that work there, we're all avid comic book fans. We all read a lot of different things. You know, we read everything from Conan to the X-Men, from Why the Last Man to Sonic the Hedgehog and Mega Man. And we kind of cover everything between all the guys there. We can always make some good recommendations. And we only recommend things that we like or the things that people have told us that they like based on your taste. We're never going to try to force something on you just to sell it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, good talking with you, Dave, as always, and much success.
Thanks, Wayne. Appreciate you having me on. Nice to talk to you again sometime soon.
This is Mark Wade.
Hi, this is Amanda Tapping.
Hello, I'm Steve Pugh.
And you can catch them all right here on SFP Now.
Okay, time for this week's news and previews, and with me, as always, is Gianluca Glazer. How are you, Gianluca?
I'm doing well.
And you, Ian. How are you, Ian Cullen?
I'm absolutely brilliant. I'm great.
There's a whole bunch of news we want to get to, and sure. A lot of it has to do with DC. So, Gianluca, why don't you go ahead and bring us up to speed on that?
Sure. Six of the DC's new 52 series have been canceled, and six new ones will take their place. I was kind of shocked by some of the titles that were announced, some of them not so shocked. Canceled were Blackhawks, Hawk and Dove, which recently had Rob Liefeld doing story and art, Men of War, Mr. Terrific, OMAC, which was improving in sales, and Static Shock, which had Mark Bernardine. He was starting to write the last two issues, issues 8 and 9, before this announcement was made. So, surprising there. So he's not even really getting a chance. You know, they already canceled it before his first books hit the stands. Mm-hmm. Taking over is Batman Incorporated with Grant Morrison. Not a big surprise considering the Bat books do very well and Grant Morrison had done Batman Inc. as a miniseries prior. Mm-hmm. Earth 2 with writer James Robinson and artist Nicola Scott. It's a Justice Society kind of story dealing with the parallel worlds, of course, like Earth 2. World's Finest by Paul Levitz and George Perez and Kevin Maguire. It involves Huntress and Power Girl. Dial H with China Meville. Sorry if I'm pronouncing it wrong. She's a well-known novelist. And artist Mattia Santoluco, who I've always seen in, like, Boom books. Interesting thing on that is that she was going to originally do, like, a Vertigo Swamp Thing before, you know, the new 52 decided to have Snyder do the main 52 title version. So that's kind of interesting. Other two titles, G.I. Combat with J.T. Krull, which Ian loved very much on Green Arrow, and Ariel Olivetti. And then Ravagers with the return of Howard Mackey, who blasted Spider-Man, as far as I knew, and Ian Churchill. It's a spinoff of Teen Titans and Superboy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting. A couple of things I want to mention on those things is that Dial H is actually a updated version of Dial H for Hero, which DC tries every once in a while. They have a dial that you dial and it turns you into a hero, but different ones depending on how you dial. You dial H-E-R-O and you're a hero, and there's also one you could dial villain on it, you become a villain. Different ones.
Kind of DC trying to do Alfred Hitchcock Dial M for Murder, isn't it?
No. That'll be coming out. They've done this before. They did a series on it, which was really good. A couple of things jumped out at me, and then Ian, I'll get your response. G.I. Combat, we just got done canceling Man of War, and we want another G.I. War book? So I was a little taken aback by that. So, and of course, this is going to be, looks like it's going to be another $3.99 one, because it's going to include The Unknown Soldier with Justin Gray and Palmiotti, and then with artist Dan Panosian, and then The Haunted Tank by John Arcady and Scott Collins. So I'm a little puzzled at that. If Men of War didn't work, why do we think the G.I. Combat's going to work? But it's kind of an interesting thing. Anyway, Ian, what was your response when you heard all this stuff?
Well, you know, so with OMAC, we've constantly said that wasn't really singing well on the show anyway. So I can't say I was really surprised that was cancelled. As for Mr. Terrific, well, it sounded so terrifically bad that I never even bothered buying it. I was put off by the title.
Yeah. So, you know, it's the interesting thing about those, about Static Shock and Mr. Terrific, of course, those were two books with black lead characters. So I don't think they're replacing, as far as I can tell, of course, we don't know anything about what Dial H is going to have in it. But that got rid of two black lead characters when one of DC's main pushes was to provide diversity in the characters. Yeah. So I was a little surprised by that.
To any of our listeners that happened to be back, it wasn't the fact that it was a black lead character that put me off. It was the title.
John, look at your response.
I wanted to say, though, that OMAC kind of surprised me because it actually had a following and it was improving. It had started off, like I said, the first initial month's orders are just based 2 months before the book comes out. So maybe retailers decided this wasn't as appealing as the other books, so it was dead last. But the book has steadily risen up the ranks, you know, which is kind of sad to see it being pulled out because it didn't improve enough. But it's still, like, outranked books like Voodoo, which DC decided to keep on. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned before I was surprised about Static Shock because you had a whole new creative person, Mark Bernardin, writing it. Mm-hmm. And it didn't even get a chance for his first book to go on sale before they decided to pull the plug.
I'm fascinated by the whole business because it's interesting to see how DC is going to move going forward. What they cancel has as much to say as what they bring on. I got a huge kick when they identified Grant Morrison. They didn't say anything about the fact that he'd actually written Batman before. They talked about that he's the writer of Action Comics, which I found that kind of – I smiled when I saw that.
Yes.
Earth 2, of course, we're going back to the way that DC Comics was back in the Silver Age. Earth 2 was where the Justice Society was. And you know, I never understood why they had to combine all that stuff, the multiverse business, because I don't mind having Earth 2 as long as you don't have Earth 666 and stuff like that in it. I think we're okay. But it's interesting that they're apparently Teen Titans is doing well, which is why they're doing the Ravagers. Dial H, of course, is a classic DC concept. So I'm going to be fascinated to see what we do going forward. You know, there were several books a lot of people thought were going to be canceled as well, and that included Captain Atom. I'm kind of fascinated that they kept that one on and Voodoo. Maybe they liked the new concept. They got rid of the writer and they're going a different direction. So maybe they thought they wanted to give that one a chance. But I thought Static Shock was actually not a bad book. And one other thing I do want to mention, too, before I change the subject is I'm just fascinated by the fact that we talked about last week that a lot of the people that I've been talking with have said that the bottom feeders in the New 52 were better than the bottom feeders were before the New 52. So I'm fascinated that they decided to make this so quickly into it. I mean, most of these books are going to be 8 issues and out. Well, we've had a lot of books that sold a lot fewer copies than this, and they got to hang around for years. So it's an interesting thing. At DC going forward, we're going to see what equals success and what doesn't. So anything else we want to say about this before we move on?
I've got a slight correction for you from last week's show. On last week's show, we said that DC didn't release any comics in the final week of December. Apparently, we was incorrect. Nick Yanes, who does all the Marvel and other stuff on the website, he actually found and discovered that DC did actually release comics in the final week of December. And he even provided a link as well.
We stand corrected.
Yes. So what else is in the news?
Ian, how about you? Any news items you want to bring up?
I know that John Luke is going to want to talk about this, but we've got the trade of Marksman coming out from Ben Arias and Image. So anyone who's not read it, I've read the first issue. I didn't read the whole comic, but from the first issue, I could tell that it was going to be a good story. And it's coming out in March?
It's coming out March 14th. That is the day, unless Image decides something. But here's hoping, yes. And Werner Ving, I believe I pronounced that right, he's 5-time Hugo Award-winning sci-fi writer. He provides an epilogue to the book, and there's even an introduction to the book, how the world of Marksman came to be with the economic collapse and Civil War and New San Diego being rebuilt. You get like a special 4-page illustrated story that's never been released in the trade.
Cool.
So basically, when the stock market crashes in America and when it crashes here in the UK, you've got to pick up your copy of Marksman now because it's a survival guide, folks. So you need it.
Right.
It's a must-have.
must-have.
Okay, how about you, Gianluca?
Some other interesting DC news. Rob Liefeld, yeah, he joins three new DC titles. So, Hawk and Dove, which was a book that he had recently started as a writer and artist. And did you see that one cover with Dove and Batman?
Yeah.
Where Dove basically fit into Batman's torso,
yeah.
Even though Batman is behind her. And
yeah.
She'd be kind of like have some distance. Anyway, mm-hmm. So he is doing Deathstroke. He's going to be the writer and artist for that. And that's basically kind of replacing Hawk and Dove for him. And they showed a picture of Deathstroke. And Deathstroke has like a very big chest and huge abdomen body, while the head, it doesn't quite seem right, you know, mm-hmm. in terms of too small.
Well, he's also working on two other books too, right?
Yes, he is. He's plotting Hawkman. He's not writing it. He's going to be plotting it. And it's going to have intergalactic battles now, mm-hmm. kind of going back to the Hawkman of a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also going to be the writer for Grifter.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Other interesting news, Chris Powell, who is the manager for Lone Star Comics, he was president for Comics Pro, he was part of the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund. He joins Diamond Comic Distributors as their executive director of business development for dealing with comic book specialty markets. So that's kind of interesting news there. It's always good to hear about people getting hired as opposed to people losing their jobs. But it's an interesting position, too, because Diamond had been losing people. What's-his-name's working for Avatar now, the guy who headed up all the managers, basically. I can't remember. Anyway, but moving on from that, other interesting news, going back to DC really quick. Have you seen that new DC logo?
Yeah.
That they've trademarked? What is your guys' opinion on that?
I've not seen it. I'm looking for it in Google now.
I think it sucks.
Well, it's rather, compared to the other one, it's flat. And it's got like a C in the background and like a D that's peeling off of the top of the C. It seems to be gray. I don't understand why they went from something that was pretty brightly blue and white. Suddenly now they've decided to go with a gray logo. Maybe that's just the black and white version of it. Maybe there's a color version coming. If there is, I want to see what the color version looks like before I pass judgment on it. It's, you know, I wasn't impressed when I saw it, but I'm hopeful that that's only the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see it now. It's got a... Oh, man, that is ugly.
Yeah, it's like it's peeling back the D to reveal the C. And it's really like an art, like a really modern art kind of style. I'm just not crazy about it. I don't know why you would change something that works so well. Mm. It is in all your 52 books.
Night at Home, it sucks.
Well, we'll see. I mean, they might change it going forward with it when they add color to it. If they add nice color to it, I could see that working.
It's not broke, DC.
Yeah.
Other news, Dynamite is reprinting some of the DC's old The Shadow.
Mm. The Shadow knows.
Hearts of Men, yes. So they're starting with Howard Chaykin's Blood and Judgment storyline. So that's cool news.
Mm-hmm.
And Dynamite also has The Bionic Woman, which is in the current January previews, mm-hmm. kind of a spinoff from The Bionic Man, but no Kevin Smith involvement in it. Mm-hmm. And a spinoff of Flash Gordon with Merciless, The Rise of Ming. Mm-hmm. So that's going to probably be in February previews. Just a couple other things. Vertigo is publishing Girl with the Dragon Tattoo graphic novel.
Ooh!
So, yes, mm-hmm. Leonardo Masco is going to be the artist on that. And then Conan and Gru, which is kind of a parody of the kind of world of Conan, they have a crossover in a four-issue miniseries.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
That's it. Yes.
Okay. Well, why don't we go ahead and look into what the previews are. Ian, what books are coming out that you're looking forward to?
Well, issue 10 of Planet of the Apes comes out this week, so I'm really looking forward to that because I've just recently read issue 9. And it's like the story is really, really, really picking up now in terms of the war between the apes and the humans. It's really going places. Another one I'm looking forward to, we already mentioned on SFP Now. John Luke's gotten hold of it and read it and wasn't keen because he didn't really know the character, stuff like that. But Steed and Mrs. Peel comes out this week. I've ordered a copy of that, so I'm quite looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of other stuff that, you know, so like if I had all the money in the world, I'd probably get these. There's a Jurassic Park trade paperback coming out. It's volume 4, Return to Jurassic Park. That's coming out through IDW. at price $17.99. So to any Jurassic Park fans out there, that, you know, that like that, you got that, and you got the Ghostbusters ongoing due out, and there's also the Star Trek ongoing coming out as well, issue 5.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and Gianluca, what are you looking forward to this week?
I didn't notice as many titles as in the previous couple of weeks, mm-hmm. but there was still some interesting stuff. Batman number 5 comes out from DC.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to that. And then Lord of the Jungle number 1 from Dynamite, which has Arvin Nelson writing it, which mm-hmm. you guys have had on the show.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming, yeah, January 18th that comes out.
Cool. Good.
So, interesting stuff. I'm really interested in, like, some of the stuff that's coming out in March from previews. I want to just quickly mention the Rocketeer Adventures Volume 2 comes out
mm-hmm.
in March. It's got Darwin Cook doing one of the covers. So, pretty amazing mm-hmm. stuff there. Mm-hmm. And then there is Will Eisner Artist Edition also coming out from IDW. But I'm still waiting for Wally Wood Artist Edition to come out, go on sale. It was solicited for October, and it's now mid-January. Still hasn't come out yet.
Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted to fuss a little bit. You reminded me of something I wanted to complain about, was that Brilliant number 2 came out. And Brilliant number 1, that came out from Marvel, of course. And the thing that got me about Brilliant number 1, I think it came out, the last time I tracked it down, it came out like the end of September. And so now, a quarter later, we get Brilliant number 2. I guess we won't see Brilliant number 3 until around April, May. But the thing that gets me is I'm always... It frustrates me when people complain bitterly. There's another bit of news that we haven't touched on quite yet that I think we deserve to mention, that Justice League number 5 is delayed to... No, 1 week. It was supposed to be out this week. It's going to be out on the 25th now. And the uproar by some folks, all right, promised us every issue would be on time, and it's already a week late. Well, nobody complained when Brilliant number 2 came out like 3 or 4 months late. So, but Justice League being a week late, they're all already screaming going on. I'm sort of like, I don't understand the fussing. You know, it's double standards abound, and it's that way in anything in life, and I shouldn't let it get to me, but it just bothers me when, you know, Justice League is a week late and the uproar hits and Brilliant comes out 3 or 4 months later. Now, granted, Brilliant is not the book that Justice League is, and so maybe I guess that means nobody cares, but it just, you know, a lot of Marvel books come out late and nobody talks about it, and yet because they promised us one book's going to be 1 week later, and the hubbub has already begun. So it drives me crazy with that. But any other things you're looking forward to, Gianluca?
I didn't mention Heart. That's still a book that's come out recently. Heart issue number 3 by Blair Butler and Kevin Mellon. I haven't picked it up yet because there was just so much material I needed to catch up on. I'm looking forward to picking that up, even though it'll be 2 or 3 weeks late.
Okay, let me real quickly run down the stuff that I don't want to mention. Birds of Prey number 5, Blue Beetle, Captain Atom, Catwoman, all those good things are coming out this week. Nightwing, which I really enjoy. Kyle Higgins, I guess if he's not going to be writing Deathstroke, hopefully he'll stay on Nightwing. Legion number 5, Red Hood and the Outlaws, which surprises me how well that book is selling. Supergirls is also out. Wonder Woman number 5, which is another strong book, which is hard to believe. Young Justice, the DC Kids version of the TV show, is out. Near Death, which I'm coming to like, number 5 is out this week, which I like. Daredevil, which is done by Mark Waid, I always get a kick out of that book, so I like that. 2 John Carter books, not 1, but 2. John Carter, Princess of Mars, John Carter of Mars, World of Mars, both from Marvel. So those are out this week.
The rubbish ones.
Yeah, well, those are the ones I don't care for as much. Now, interestingly enough, the end of Superior finally is in sight. Superior number 7 of 7. Talk about delay. That book is way late. But Venom number 12, which I'm actually coming to like. And so there's several good books that are out this week that I think are worth getting. So it's going to be a good week. One other one, Green Hornet number 21, which is kind of fun. I like what they're doing at that book going forward. I'm glad we don't have 6 or 7 of them every week like we did for a while there. But it's pretty good. Oh, you'll be glad to know, Gianluca, that Voltron number 2 is out this week. Lucky you.
I don't care. I really hated the first Voltron, and that was really surprising given how much I like a lot of Dynamite books.
Mm-hmm.
Voltron shouldn't talk on its own. He's not a sentient being. He's a robot that's formed from the guys controlling the 5 different lions. The guys should be in the lions when Voltron is formed as a robot, except in a rare occurrence. It shouldn't be like it was in this first issue. That was another turnoff. Even the language was just so more adult. Like, even there was, like, I think, cursing. Not, like, F-word cursing, but there was, like, cursing in the book. And it was just like that, again, that's not the way, you know, it was when I was watching Voltron. So. Mm-hmm. And the art sucked. So.
Okay, well, and on that good note, we'll end this week of news and previews. All right, thanks, guys. We'll talk
great
again
comments.
Next. We'll talk again next week.
Yeah.
And that's a wrap for the 41st episode of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Next week, I'm planning on having an interview with Mike Morrissey, who created one of my favorite comics of 2011 called Quarantined. He'll be talking about Hoax Hunters, one of his creations, and I think you'll enjoy listening to him talk about that. But until next time, keep reading your comics.